Paul, the team has long talked about Mark Scheifele, saying that he's a guy who kind of, he's expected himself to be one of the best players in the league and kind of pushed himself to that. I'm sure lots of players feel that way. When did you realize through the course of coaching him that this was a guy who was going to fulfill his destiny?
That's a tough one, because you're always aware that players can kind of flatline at a certain level. But very early, you at least with confidence could say he's going to maximize his game. He will get to as good as he can be. He's not going to look back at his career and say, boy, I could have been a way better player if only I'd worked out harder, studied the game more. All of the things, nutrition that he puts into it, gave Mark the chance to be the player that he's going to be. And he's getting better. This is his first playoff series. He has been on a really consistent curve. You know, there hasn't been a lot of spikes in his game, certainly hasn't been a lot of drop-offs. He just kind of keeps getting better. His second half of the Minnesota series was better than the first half, and that was, you know, he started at that point with Nashville, but again, got better in that series, became a huge impact player for us. So we know that when he's done, you will have seen the best he had to offer.
Do you ever feel like telling him just to take a day off?
You know what, like, well, recovery is part of his program, so he's got that factored in too, right? But there is a big chunk of things that I don't coach when you get players like that, players like Blake Wheeler. I'm learning from them. I ask a lot of questions on why they train that way, how they train. But they're experts far more so than I in preparing to play a hockey game, so I leave them alone.
We've seen a number of players around the league at young ages now play up points in the regular season. Not speaking just about the guys on your team, but why is it tough
when
you're, what do they have to
learn? 2006, the rules changed, and that allowed a player who physically hadn't matured but could skate and have good hands to produce. And I'm not even, this is not a refereeing statement, because that was, right, the game changed. But everything is so much harder here. Physical strength does become more of an issue. That's the minor one. Playoff hockey is different. It doesn't mean that those players aren't going to score and be great playoff players, but they're going to go through a learning curve, right? They're going to figure it out. I got no complaint. The only person we're talking about is Nicky Ehlers hasn't scored a goal. So that line's been pretty darn good, and we just won our first two rounds, so I don't care if Nicky scores. I want him to play the best game that he can, whether he puts a puck in the net or not. Doesn't matter. The line's got to outplay the other line. The team's got to outplay the other team. That's it.
There's another young player seems to be getting stronger as he's on here is Jacob Trouba.
Yeah.
What did you see in his game one yesterday, and where would you assess that versus some of his other?
Jake had missed some hockey going into the playoffs, and he's like Mark, he's built and gotten strong. His game seven in Nashville was very powerful. We like when he carries the puck. We like when he drives the play. And when he does that, that for us is the starter for him, because all other parts of his game fall in. He's a physical guy. He's heavy in the corners. He can make plays with the puck. Another guy. I mean, all of these. So the three kind of middle-aged drivers that we have are Lowry, Scheifele, and Trouba, like a first wave of young players here. This is still new, right? They got four games of playoff experience before this year. So they're learning as they go, and we're hopeful in what we've seen that they'll continue to get better here.
So he takes that interference penalty yesterday where maybe he's a little jacked up.
No, you know what?
He can live with, because it shows.
It happened. In his defense, we just played 12 hockey games that happened five times a night. Right? So we do have to, every team has to make the adjustment. When the style of game changes from our last series, those things become a little bit more noticeable because they don't happen as often. That was happening in every corner all series long. Now it doesn't happen quite as much, so it becomes more noticeable to the referee. So we do have to make a bit of an adjustment with that.
Just one more on that, but how much does Josh Morrissey really complement his style, and those two just mesh together as a shutdown pair?
Before they went together, Morrissey was playing with Bufflin for coverage more than anything else. Josh's first year. We were talking about the idea that those two eventually will be a good pair, and in some ways not being in the playoffs in that hunt the year prior, at that second half of the year, was kind of a good thing because we could try some things. We wanted to see if that worked. They went together and played well since.
You've talked about Connor Hellebuck and the kind of a journey that he's had.
Yeah.
Last year there was a big adjustment for him. Are there, I mean, Can you talk about how difficult that is? And are there guys that never make it, you know, that aren't able to do it?
So Connor had a difficult year last year. And most of the conversations we had about it were how necessary it was that for a goaltender, we'd like to think in 1 year we're going to get you all the tools in your toolbox that you're going to need for the rest of your career, what it's like to get pulled, what it's like to play well and lose, what it's like to feel the pressure in a Canadian market when there's question marks about the goaltending, right or wrong. We weren't playing well enough in front of him to give him a chance to be great. And he handled it. Like, he's a mentally tough kid. So he wasn't happy about it. Really had a lot of internal confidence, but with no arrogance. Like, he knew what was going on in front of him, where he needed to be better. So he took that challenge this summer and straight through the year. A year, and I know it's only 4 or 5 months, at that age makes a huge, huge difference. All the things that he went through last year directly help him mentally prepare and deal with the things from this year. Hey, Sarah. That's what we think the catalyst is. When he and I think over the last couple of years he's kind of felt that we held him back from jumping in as much. And what he's done is, it's first thing, Jake times his rushes really well, right? He doesn't jump in when he's not, and he gets in and gets out at the right times. But part of that now, his reads are good, and we want him to get up the ice, and we want him to feel like he has the green light to go. Whether he does or not, I think he likes that freedom. And I also think you get to a level, you're playing against the other team's best, you know you're in the game and you know you're a key guy, you're a driver here. So he's able to wind himself up for the games. No more than all RD. Well, take a look at Dustin Byfuglien's game in the first 3 months here. It's markedly different than in the past. We needed it to be for us to become a more stable defensive team. And then if you look at Dustin's game last night, he's up the ice all night long, but we like when he is. So Jake's kind of in the same structure.
Can you talk about Dustin Byfuglien and how he stepped his game up in the playoffs?
Yes. He had a hell of a year. And it was masked by the fact that he didn't score a goal for a long time and didn't generate points. So the question was, what's wrong with Dustin Byfuglien? The answer was absolutely nothing, because our hockey team was winning and he was playing right. And we went from one of the worst rush teams against to the best in the regular season. So he had, and you know, he's at 25 minutes, so he has a huge impact on that. Started to score, and I understand that people then start to notice Dustin's really going. So now he's got it both going. The offensive part of his game's there. But all the things that he did at the start of the year, quite a bit more physical in his own end of the ice, clean, very, very clean with those. So he's got a great balance in his game now.
Paul, they say common wisdom is depth scoring. You need it from three or four lines to go far in the playoffs. You've had some, Brandon Tatum comes to mind. You're leaning real heavily on some core guys here. Can that continue?
Well, it wouldn't matter. We need enough scoring from four lines. If it happens to be Mark gets that, their line keeps going, then we can be patient with it. I really like Brian's line and Adam's line and Paul's line in game seven and in game one generated a bunch. I don't feel where it's a danger is the lines that aren't scoring feel they have to change their game outside what we want to do to generate that, and then you got a real problem. Then you got a lot of pressure on your A line because you're not scoring if you fool around with the game. So I go back to that. You know, I got to ask Sammy Kapanen hadn't scored a goal through the first three rounds of the playoffs. You really need Sammy to score to win. We didn't need Sammy to score to win, so no, we just keep her going.
Just kiss in the back of your mind, you'd love them all to chip in.
Yeah, and that never ever happens, right? On any team ever in the history of the game. You got all four lines scoring. Nope. Just doesn't happen.
Well, Kulikov seems to be getting closer, yeah. But how do you gauge a guy that's been out that long, A, with a winning lineup, with a lot of depth at that position, and yet, you know why you brought him in last summer?
So right, so the first is going to be a need in your lineup. Do you feel you have a need? We're comfortable with our back end, and he's been out for a while now. You watch the ice to see how it's going. We're really comfortable where he's gotten to. We also really like Joe Morrow's game when he was in. So we have some depth there as well.
Paul, going back to summer, what impact did Toby Enstrom's no movement clause have?
Last one, guys.
Protecting themselves in the
small little things sort of, that's the wrong word. It's kind of an idea of what maybe goes on in our locker room for you. He's willing to take that risk for the team with the idea that we can keep that, those guys. I'm not going to give, but you can figure out who the names might have been. And then you watch our game last night and how important those guys are to our team, what we would have lost. That was really significant. And you don't do that if you don't care about the team or the city or the organization. You want to keep the team together and you want to be a part of it. So he put himself at risk for the good of the team, and we benefited greatly from it.
Thank you.